Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
We go up to Madrid to speak to Melissa Kitson, not in the busy newsroom of El País, but from her rather comfortable and cozy apartment. Good morning to you, Melissa.
Morning, Giles.
How are you doing today?
Good, good, thanks.
Super. Right then, let's crack on with, because a lot of news been breaking, a lot of things happening in El País. Let's start with the latest news on El Virus.
Yes, well, it's one of these stories that just doesn't end. So, you know, as we talked last week, there was a lot of concern about rising cases because the incident rate had risen to 240 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. And now 1 week on, that's 412 cases. So it's nearly doubled in a week, which is obviously, you know, as a sign of concern. And, you know, this is on a national level. When you look at particular regions, it's even higher. So, for instance, in Nevada, it has the highest incidence rate of all of Spain at 1,267 cases. So this is kind of at the same level of some of these, waves that we've seen in other European countries. This is in Nevada. And it's interesting because it's a bit of a mystery as to why Nevada and the Basque Country, which is another region which has a very high incident rate, is recording so many cases. You know, some of the experts say it's because they are better at detecting, infections. But it is a bit of a question mark. But you know what? The overall impression is that cases are on the rise. Six regions are at high risk. If you look at the traffic light system, which takes into indications like the number of new cases, the pressure in hospitals, how many patients there are in the intensive care units, and so on and so forth. So that's, I remember writing an article not too long ago which said half of Spain was at medium risk. So that, you know, in a very short space of time, now we have, you know, quite a large chunk of the country at a high risk. So that's obviously of concern. And, you know, these worries have been exacerbated by the new strain, the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. So a total of 36 cases have been detected so far, but this number changes, you know, very quickly from one day to the next. So this was of yesterday. And what's of concern is that 19 of these cases were found among people who had no connection to travel to high-risk countries. So they hadn't been to South Africa, for instance, and they hadn't been in contact with anyone who had been. So this indicates that it's community transmission, which is of concern.
I was speaking to a friend of mine last night who works as a translator, a volunteer translator at the Costa del Sol Hospital, and she's saying that at the moment, they're busy, the hospitals are busy, but they're not like they were 12 months ago. So it's not the actual severity of the cases, but it's the number of cases that are coming in. And they're worried that, you know, although the cases may not all be as awful as they were this time last year, it could be the sheer number of cases that that puts the health service at risk.
Yes. So this, you know, I think I mentioned this last week, that the with a lower incident rate, there are actually more patients in hospital if you go back to sort of before the vaccination drive began. So that's sort of the saving grace of the situation. But as you say, when you get these volumes, even if the percentage of people who are getting sick is smaller, just because of the sheer number, there will be more people who need to be hospitalized. And that, you know, is obviously going to put pressure on the healthcare system.
What's the situation with the booster shots in Spain at the moment?
Well, the booster shots, because of because the cases are rising and there are these alarms, there are the health committee that's called the Public Health Commission, which is a body that's made up of officials from both the regional and the central government. They're actually considering extending the booster shots to more age groups. So for now, It's only available to the sort of over 60s, people with compromised immune systems. There are some different categories, but they're thinking of potentially expanding that. They haven't, you know, specified to what to whom, but it could be to more age groups. So perhaps to people, the population who is over 40, which has been done in other countries in Europe. So that will be interesting to see. But it's also interesting that the rate of vaccination of the booster shots is not as fast. It's not happening as quickly as authorities had hoped. So even though, you know, cases are rising and there are these concerns, the country's not seeing the same kind of uptick of the vaccination. People, although they are eligible to get their shots, are not necessarily going out and getting them. And today, of course, is, you know, a big day because it's the when the vaccination of children, of the children between 5 and 11, begins today.
So that's going to be an interesting development as well. Let's move away from the virus and perhaps good news for La Palma.
Yes, this, you know, obviously, you know, with a little caution, but the volcano in La Palma, which has been active for 86 days, has basically ceased to emit lava. It's not releasing sulfur dioxide. There's no more tremors or seismic activity. And this happened Tuesday night. So it's a pause, but the hope is that this pause will then is a sign that it's of a definitive end, so that there's still, you know, the experts are saying this is really good news, but let's just hold off on sort of, you know, waving the, you know, of celebrating the end just yet, because in the past there have been sort of moments where it looked like, oh, you know, it stopped, and then a day later there was even sort of greater flows of lava and seismic activity. So it's early days, but the main measures, so for instance, tremor, which is which measures the kind of the rise of magma and gases to the surface, the registers of that are practically non-existent. And the earthquakes, so there was a period there where they were just constant, and the poor people of La Palma were just getting shaken nonstop. That has also dropped off nearly completely. There is some seismic activity, but it's at very deep levels, which, you know, does not, you know, it's kind of more dangerous when it's closer to the surface, because that could mean it will sort of shake up the lava to the surface. And the other good sign is that there's what they call kind of ground uplift. So when there's a lot of pressure coming from below, the ground starts to kind of bulge, and that indicates that, you know, that there's more lava, that, you know, the volcano remains active, and there's no sign of that. So that's the good news. Obviously, you know, the volcano in its 86 days, making, which is now the longest to hit La Palma, you know, has left in its path a wake of destruction. So 70,000 people are still evacuated. 2,300 people have lost their homes. So it's been a really difficult time for the island.
Well, hopefully it is the beginning of the end of that situation. Talk about difficult times. Very difficult time for a Spanish family in Barcelona who wanted their kids to be, or their child to be, taught in Spanish and not Catalan.
Yes, this is a very interesting case, and it's really just kind of taken off. So in Catalonia, they have a language immersions system, where the idea is that children have all their classes taught in Catalan except for their Spanish language classes and other sort of foreign language classes. And the idea being that, you know, kids grow up speaking Catalan, you know, a way of kind of preserving the language and so on and so forth. But not everyone agrees with this model. And one Spanish family, they went to court and they asked for their child to have all their classes in Spanish, but just a higher percentage. And, sort of went back and forth through the courts. And then recently the Supreme Court backed an earlier verdict from the Catalan High Court, which said that as a precautionary measure, 25% of class time must be given in Spanish. So this measure is, so for as long as this measure is in place, at this particular school, the child has to receive 25% of her classes in Spanish, which does not seem like a lot, really, but it caused outrage. There was a protest on Friday. People were, you know, waving signs saying, oh, we have to protect the Catalan language. And a lot of hate has been just sort of thrown at this family. They've received lots of attacks on social media, really sort of violent stuff as well. One person said, oh, count me in for throwing stones at this child's house.
So this was a professor. This wasn't some guy in the street. This was a respected academic who said that. And then he tried to backpedal by saying he meant it metaphorically.
I know, that was very, very strange. I was also surprised when to find out that this was not sort of just a troll on, well, I mean, obviously he was sort of trolling, but that he was an academic, you know, he works at a university, and here he is calling on people to throw stones at a five-year-old's child's house. So this is another interesting, you know, this kid is only 5 years old, and there's so much hate has been generated because of this story that they're actually under police protection. So this is how extreme the situation has become. This family has protection from the Catalan police force. Officers are now stationed outside the school of the five-year-old to make sure that she or her family don't have any, you know, aren't abused at the beginning or the end of the school day. No physical harassment has been reported so far. That, you know, other claims on social media were asking, you know, all the students in that girl's class should just stand up and leave, sort of in protest to kind of ostracize her. It's, you know, really, really quite severe. And the family has released an open letter. They're talking about, you know, to feel the hate, the intimidation, the threats. We've felt like crying many times. So there's a lot of pressure to be placed from this family. And the family have come out and said, look, to everyone who supported us privately, please do it publicly, because we shouldn't yield to this pressure. You know, we should be able to sort of stand up for what we believe in without, you know, being inundated with, you know, with attacks on social media. On the other hand, the people who are really staunch supporters of the Catalan linguistic program, they have said, you know, warned that this, you know, called for people to protect the system, saying that this is, you know, really important to Catalan culture and so on and so forth. It's a very divisive situation. Just today, actually, there's a question and answer session happening in Congress, and Pablo Casado, the leader of the opposition leader, has brought up this family and accused the Prime Minister Sanchez, of not doing enough to protect them. So this, you know, what started out as perhaps, you know, a dispute at a local level, you know, between a young child and her school, has now reached national politics. We have sort of the top leaders of the country debating this issue.
Well, we'll see where that one goes. You mentioned the Spanish Prime Minister. Well, you know, who is the Spanish Prime Minister, Melissa?
Well, the Spanish Prime Minister is Pedro Sanchez.
Not according to the Spanish citizens test. Tell me about this.
Yes, this is a funny story. So there's for those who have done the Spanish citizenship, you might be aware that part of the process involves completing an exam on Spanish culture. And this exam is made by the Cervantes Institute. And in order to prepare for the exam, the Institute releases a handbook. So this idea to help you with what questions, you know, how to answer the questions so you can pass and become a citizen and so on and so forth. But this particular manual that was published in November had some very interesting errors. So according to the book, Sanchez is not the prime minister. Mariano Rajoy is still the prime minister. And he hasn't been the leader since June 2018. Another big glaring mistake was that according to this handbook, the death penalty still exists in Spain. And so for those who aren't aware, it was actually banned in 1978 and completely abolished, including for wartime conditions in 1995. So imagine, you know, that the kind of concern was that if, for people who are like, okay, I'm going to prepare for this citizenship step, I've got my manual, and you basically learn the wrong answers. You learn to, you know, it teaches you to think that, you know, the wrong prime minister is in power and that the death penalty still exists in Spain. The Cervantes Institute has said it's, you know, it was a computer glitch to do with the fact that they remained the same letter for the correct answers. But really, it's sort of shone a light on you know, how these mistakes can really make a big, you know, difference at the end of the day. And also, it is quite kind of ludicrous to think that, you know, the death penalty still exists in Spain. And
yes, I mean, it's quite a thing to take the Spanish citizenship test anyway, because there's got a, you know, an oral part, a component as well with it. But that one really was, it really is a shocker. And, you know, you might as well have said that Cuba is still a colony, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to run out of time, Melissa. If people want to find and keep up to date with what's happening in terms of where we are with the virus, where we are in terms of La Palma, and also following this this fascinating story in Barcelona, where can they find you?
You can find us at English.elpais.com.
Melissa, I probably won't speak to you before. I don't think you're on next week. So if I don't speak to you next week, have a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Giles. Merry Christmas.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.